sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Timothy Carr, the Senior Director of Strategy for Free Press. Previously, he served as Executive Director of MediaChannel.org and Vice President of Global Vision New Media. He's also worked extensively as an editor, reporter, and photojournalist for the Associated Press, Time Incorporated, the New York Times, and the Australian Consolidated Press. He critiques, analyzes, and reports on media and media policy for the Huffington Post and on his personal blog, Media Citizen. Welcome to Background Briefing, Timothy Carr.
Thank you for having me on.
And what's your response to this extraordinary secret tape that Bob Woodward of the Washington Post has revealed involving K.T. McFarland, a Fox News contributor, former national security aide to three Republican administrations in Kabul, Afghanistan, soliciting General Petraeus to run for president on behalf of, or soliciting on behalf of Roger Ailes, soliciting Petraeus to run for president against Barack Obama because Ailes apparently felt the Republican field for this recent election wasn't going to do the job, and Petraeus would be able to beat Obama, presumably. This is a pretty extraordinary.
Well, I guess I should be shocked, but at the same time, this is a news corporation which has a long history of currying favor and getting very close to the highest levels of power. We just recently saw the release of the Leveson inquiry, and then people who are watching that investigation in the United Kingdom saw that Rupert Murdoch and many of his top executives got very close to people within the conservative government there and had prime ministers visiting him on his yacht to discuss matters. And so to think that people within the same organization would think that they can control politics in the United States in a similar fashion is not that surprising. But when you look at it, at the face of it, it is, we set up our democracy here in the United States with this idea that media would be outside of government and act as a watchdog to investigate the powerful and serve the public interest in the service of truth. And here we have apparently an example where the highest levels of media at News Corp are linked at the hip with some of the most powerful people in politics, to the extent that they think they can even call the shots as to who runs for president and who does not.
Well, this K.T. McFarland, in trying to, it's passing this message on from the chairman, is how they refer to Roger Ailes at Fox. And there was a distinct tone of sycophancy in the tape in terms of this Fox News contributor talking about her revered chairman, basically telling Petraeus that Rupert Murdoch would bankroll his campaign. It was almost like all you have to do is sign on the dotted line. This was a done deal. Ailes was also advising Petraeus not to accept an offer from President Obama to become chairman of the Joint Chiefs, one that actually wasn't going to be forthcoming in any case. And in fact, Petraeus mentions to this woman why he might take the job as head of the CIA. So he's actually being fairly open, even though he turns down the offer. He seems to be wanting to maintain good relations with the chairman, Roger Ailes, and Rupert Murdoch.
Ailes has a long history of being involved in politics, both from the inside and the outside. Previously served under Republican administrations. He has and campaigns. He has a number of high level politicians on his payroll. People like Sarah Palin, who at one time was one of the top commentators there. Former vice presidential candidate, This is the kind of world in which we live, where the most influential in the media are also trying to be the most influential in politics. So it's outrageous when you think about it, because the idea, again, is that the media is to act as a watchdog against abuses of power. And when you have the highest levels of media actually involved in these kinds of abuses of power, where they're playing kingmaker in a system that's supposed to be democratic, then you have a real problem with our larger democracy, especially when you can't trust journalists, you can't trust the members of the media to report on political issues in a very straight fashion. It leaves it to the voters to try to figure out who's telling them what. And often when you have members of the media that have so much at stake in political outcomes, it becomes difficult to trust journalism in this way.
Again, I'm speaking with Timothy Carr, the Senior Director of Strategy for Free Press. Now, it's pretty clear that we're a long way from the old adage that the role of the press is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Clearly, things have changed, and we have a corporate media where corporate barons can essentially use their media outlets as a personal soapbox and propagate their political views, and in the case of Murdoch, basically hire world leaders to do their bidding. In the case of both Tony Blair and the current Prime Minister of England, Cameron, and here he is via Roger Ailes, via this McFarlane woman, trying to beat Obama with Petraeus on the basis that Petraeus is more likely to win, as opposed to the field that ended up with Romney as the standard bearer. This is a new era. Is there anything that can be done? I know that ending the FCC's requirement of the fairness doctrine has brought about this situation. That was ended under Ronald Reagan at the behest of big media. And ever since then, the wall between opinion and journalism has merged. The idea of the fairness doctrine was quite simple. It meant that media owners are perfectly free to go ahead and propagate their personal points of view. But if they do so, they have to offer equal and opposite free time for equal and opposite views. And that restrained them. So is that the only choice we have?
No, I think in the absence of the fairness doctrine, and I don't expect that it's going to be making a comeback anytime soon. It doesn't have any political momentum behind it in Washington right now. But in the absence of that, we can advocate at the FCC to support a more diverse media system. And the problem that we're facing right now is that the Federal Communications Commission has done the opposite. They have been so captive to powerful members of industry that they've passed policies that have allowed some of the largest media companies to continue to grow, to continue to acquire local television and radio stations and build these massive conglomerates that have this much power. And what happens when you give a few people in the media this much power is you create this kind of dependency, interdependency system between politicians and media moguls. The media moguls need the politicians to continue to deregulate, to continue to pass policies that allow them to accrue more power, while at the same time the politicians need the media moguls in order to get reelected. You cannot be elected in the United States, which, you know, our elections are run via television. It is the medium of politics. And you cannot get elected if you're a fall out of favor with some of the more powerful media interests. So one of the things that we're working on right now at Free Press is to try to stop the FCC from its next effort. They are now in the process of trying to throw out a rule that would allow that the rule in place right now prohibits media companies from owning television stations, newspapers, and several radio stations in a single town. And the current FCC, this is an FCC under President Obama, wants to throw out that rule. And if that rule goes away, we could see Rupert Murdoch purchasing the Los Angeles Times. We could see Rupert Murdoch purchasing the Chicago Tribune, both cities where he already owns television stations. So So we can fight this kind of abuse of power by advocating through Free Press and other organizations and sending a message to the FCC that they cannot do away with this rule and that we need to keep curbs to media consolidation in place.
So, Timothy Carr, again, the Senior Director of Strategy for Free Press, you pointed out that the media, the mainstream media and these megalopolies that we have, that essentially just a handful of them that control most of the corporate press, they are the main beneficiaries of our broken political system that has been opened up to unlimited amounts of money by the Supreme Court Citizens United decision. We've seen a record $6 billion election just take place, where most of the money the politicians raise from the special interests in order to get reelected, in effect, goes directly to the television monopolies. And this has been an enormous boon. They had so much money chasing after airtime during this last election cycle that the television stations could basically name their own price. So isn't that the heart of the problem, that we have a political system that essentially corrupts politicians and transfers these funds directly to media companies?
It is. In fact, I looked very extensively at this problem throughout the election year. You're right, there was $6 billion spent on campaigns in 2012, and of that, more than $3 billion went to purchase political ads to produce them and place them on local television stations. And the problem there is then you have an inherent conflict of interest. And the work that I had done was to look at the local coverage of these television stations in markets where most of these ads were being purchased, places like Florida and Ohio and Colorado that had the heaviest trafficking of political ads. And what happened was, with this influx of political money, there was a veritable blackout of local news reporting on the political ads. Most of the television stations in battleground states didn't do any of the sort of on-air fact-checking of some of the ads that these stations themselves were airing. They didn't check whether they are accurate or false. And of course, many of these ads, a vast majority of them, according to a recent study by the Annenberg Public Policy Center, a vast majority of them contained false information. So you have this conflict of interest where local television stations who provide local news and political information aren't doing the kind of reporting on the sort of money that's flooding into their market to spread misinformation because, of course, they don't want to bite the hands that are feeding them.
Again, I'm speaking with Timothy Carr, the Senior Director of Strategy for Free Press. Previously served as Executive Director of MediaChannel.org and Vice President of Global Vision New Media. He's also worked extensively as an editor, reporter, and photojournalist for the Associated Press, Time Incorporated, and the New York Times. Now, you mentioned earlier what's been happening in England with these inquiries into News Corporation and News International, Murdoch's companies, as a result of the hacking scandal, which really revealed a callousness, not just in terms of the arrogance of power in owning politicians and basically ordering them around, in effect, in intimidating them, but also corrupting the famous British police force, which has always been considered to be fairly clean. But then in terms of journalism, the idea that they would hack into phones and then, particularly in the case of a young girl who'd been raped and murdered and who was missing, they hacked into her phone and deleted messages in order to, which then gave the family the illusion that the child was still alive. It's just mind-boggling. And it did, I think it outraged a lot of people around the world. But surely doesn't that indicate the kind of moral rot at the top here that you have? This goes beyond cynicism, this idea of being not just a media mogul, but power broker. But it also is about an individual imposing his kind of malevolent and malicious attitude towards humanity on the rest of us.
Well, there was a culture of corruption which pervades the whole newspaper and then pervades the whole a News Corp corporation, and given that this, as you say, is a corporation that isn't only involved in producing news, but they also have extensive interest in Hollywood and the movie production industry and cable television that it's a culture of corruption that's then seeps across the whole media landscape. And the one interesting thing about the phone hacking scandal, or I should say it's something that we have yet to see the full extent of, is that to those crimes that occurred in the United Kingdom, and most specifically the crime of bribery of government officials, there triggers legal action here in the United States under what's called the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. And the Department of Justice, which administers that law, is now investigating a News Corp to see whether bribery in the UK is cause for a prosecution here in the United States. So you could see potentially the dominoes start to fall against the Murdoch Empire here in the United States. It is a U.S.-based company and is therefore beholden to the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. So we have yet to see the rest of that investigation. And those investigations do take some time, but potentially it could result in prosecutions here in the United States, which then could raise issues about whether or not News Corp is suited, meets the existing character qualifications to hold broadcast licenses here in the United States. So we certainly haven't heard the end of that story, and it's that there's a potential that here you have this media mogul who thinks of himself above the law, able to sort of dictate who rules, who does what, and how much they can get away with, where he actually may have to come to account.
Well, you know, I'd love to see it happen, Timothy Carr, but frankly, if the Obama administration is giving Murdoch a blank check here via its FCC ruling to remove the cross-ownership rules that prevent him from owning both newspapers and television stations in the same markets, what's to suggest that he's going to tell his attorney general to step up and do the right thing?
Well, there has been a public outcry since news of this ruling at the FCC became known. We've managed to collect more than 200,000 signatures at Free Press protesting this. If you can organize your outcry, enough people do speak out about this issue, I think that the Obama administration will see that there is no political benefit to handing out this favor to Murdoch, and in fact that it has the political backing, at least at the grassroots, should it decide to pursue this investigation more aggressively.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Timothy Carr.
My pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Timothy Carr, who's a Senior Director of Strategy for Free Press, previously served as Executive Director of MediaChannel.org and Vice President of Global Vision New Media. He's also worked extensively as an editor, reporter, and photojournalist for the Associated Press, Time Incorporated, and the New York Times. He critiques and analyzes reports on media and media policy for the Huffington Post and on his personal blog, Media Citizen. We're going to take a brief station break and back talking about the street battles in Cairo that pit the Egyptian revolutionaries against the Muslim Brotherhood.